welcome to the Heart of Healthcare podcast. In series three, we'll be talking about healthcare from a global perspective, offering deep discussions about what it will take for a system shift that benefits patients and healthcare professionals when medicine is practiced from the heart. We'll be hearing from Stephanie Mo Davis, Drs. Ruby Shah, Dan Dinnenberg, and Jan Bonifer as they share their stories and insights from their own personal experiences. Stephanie co-founded Regenerating Healthcare and Evolve Integration with Ruby in Texas, having been a spiritual teacher and long-term patient. Running three yoga studios while dealing with physical adversities has given her a unique perspective on holistic intelligence, and she pioneers therapies for better patient outcomes. Dr. Ruby Shah started her career as a physician, specializing in internal medicine and primary care, going on to teach medical students and residents. Knowing she could no longer stand by as the healthcare system became more dysfunctional, she now advocates for a healthy workplace and healing haven for patients and healthcare workers. Dr. Dan Dinnenberg is a family physician based in Hawaii who describes himself as living at the intersection of functional medicine, regenerative design, and shamanism. He believes that we each have the capacity to heal ourselves and works with his patients to rebalance and restore their energy, vitality, joy, and health. Professor Dr. Jan Bonifer is a double board certified pediatrician and infectious disease specialist practicing in Basel, Switzerland. A professor at the University of Basel Children's Hospital and the founder of Heart-Based Medicine. A series of personal challenges helped him become curious about the dysfunctional environment he was working within and motivated him to change it. Jan was one of the first to raise the alarm about the state of physicians' well-being and hopes the organization will serve as a beacon of hope for aspiring healthcare professionals who dare to care.
Hi, everyone. As we venture in this first conversation between four like-hearted who found the way together and who had already a series of conversations, and we feel like we actually want to expand this conversation and we want to invite others to join us in this conversation. And we are planning to have 10 conversations together, and this one is the first one. And we felt, let's start at the beginning and explore, why are we in this journey? Why are we in the journey of a healthcare professional? Why do we care as healthcare professionals or as patients about this topic and how to improve healthcare? So let's just take a round today and just introduce, what is it for each of us that is actually connecting us with healthcare? What got us into healthcare and why do we care today? And I wonder if, Stephanie, what you want to talk and start off with the patient perspective, because it's about the patient.
Mm-hmm. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me here. And thank you, everybody, for participating. I come to this scene from the patient perspective. And I have to say that I feel so grateful to be here, allowing my voice to be heard, because it's been a long journey to actually find you, Jan, and to be participating with all of you. And actually, how I found you was through starting to go down many rabbit holes of how we become heard in change and civilization change and upgrade. And I actually found you through the Daniel Schmachtenberger Jan podcast about care and healthcare. And when I saw both of you speaking, I had been following Daniel for quite a while. I just lit up completely because, Jan, you were a representative of something that I have been seeking and searching for along my whole journey as a patient. And that's somebody who is invested and interested in broadening the scope of how we can improve as healthcare professionals. One of the reasons why I went down this rabbit hole so deep was because I wasn't really truly finding and connecting with the resources that I needed as a patient. And I felt as though I wasn't truly being heard accurately and communicating with my practitioners the way I needed to be heard, understood, and even valued for what I was experiencing. I felt there was this tremendous gap between trying to share with my providers and practitioners of what I truly felt and what was being heard. And very often I found myself separating from my authentic self as a patient in order to be understood by somebody who I knew cared, but I also knew didn't have the time or maybe the wherewithal or maybe even the inner workings to truly encompass the feelings that I was trying to express to them. So my journey with healthcare actually began when I was young. I had one of my first boyfriends became paralyzed in a bike accident, which led me to experience his process through Northeastern in Chicago Hospital and seeing where he had missing gaps along his healthcare process. And then I had another event a little bit later in my life, around 19, where my entire family was involved in a head-on collision. And I was able to see from their process of being in the shock trauma unit through the ICU, spending all of this time amongst the system, and then seeing the deep needs of my family at home and what wasn't being fulfilled and where they were getting stuck along their healing and healthcare process. So then that actually led me into my own experience. So when I was 21 years old, I was living a relatively very healthy lifestyle. In fact, I was already a yoga teacher. I was eating a vegetarian diet. I was in a healthy relationship. And all of a sudden, I started to not feel well. I started to experience joint pain, fatigue, discomfort. I knew something was wrong. And in fact, I was misdiagnosed about four times before they found out what was truly wrong with me. And by that time, the disease process had already taken withhold into my body, which was an autoimmune disease, lupus. By the time they discovered the lupus, I was already having multi-organ involvement, and it became serious very quickly. And I remember one of my doctors saying to me, "Stephanie, you're going to kind of have to forget all of the woo-woo stuff you're doing. It's getting very serious right now. The only thing that's going to help you is medication." And at that point, I disconnected from the innate wisdom that I had gained from my yoga practices, my meditation practices, my self-development practices. And I just completely gave over my agency to the healthcare team because I was kind of told nothing you're doing is going to help. The only thing that's going to help now is what we're doing. And I was too sick to really fight to reclaim those practices. So what had happened with the wisdom that I had already had through the yoga and the meditation, the self-development and the awareness and the emotional understanding, I completely abandoned myself because I was in this process of really becoming very ill and having many years leading up to dialysis, leading up to my first kidney transplant, being in a wheelchair for a year of just strictly abiding by the traditional medical system. And at some point, I realized something is missing. And what really was the cue for me to understand how the system was operating and what we were missing was when at some of my sickest moments, my own practitioners, my own doctors, my own healthcare team would find solace sitting with me in the hospital bed because I exuded positivity and love and care. This was all coming from my past, from the Eastern practices that I already knew. I found doctors and practitioners asking me for advice and seeking out a sense of peace within my room. And I thought to myself, I'm here trying to heal as a patient. Why am I finding myself doing these other forms of healing with all of my healthcare team? Something is really missing here. So at that point, I had to grapple within myself. I can't separate from myself to heal these people in the field that need help right now. I have to continue to focus on myself to get through this. But when I do get through this, I knew I would. I knew that this was happening to me for a reason, that this decade of suffering, of dialysis, hemodialysis, peritoneal dialysis, hemorrhaging into my lungs and having a near-death experience, leading up to my first kidney transplant, I knew something's happening to me here. And I don't quite have the understanding of where this is going to lead, but I need to fight through this because I see not the patient suffering, but I see a lot of the people who are in healthcare that are suffering. And I was starting to realize and kind of see this picture and these patterns of what was happening. And many of the things we talk about in the system, the practitioners don't have time. They're overworked. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of dysregulation amongst the system. There's even dislike amongst practitioners amongst the system. And I thought to myself, wow, by the time the practitioner gets to me, they have already had to face so many barriers to being connected to themselves and their own care and love within themselves before they even get to me as a patient. I'm kind of the butt end of the spectrum here, even though it's the very thing that we say we're in service to is the patient. The patient, from my perspective, speaking as a patient, we have so much more potential for healing amongst healthcare. I find these fields to be somewhat separate. And in my Eastern practices in yoga therapy, that's what every client would say to me, Stephanie, I have this going on with me physically. I have an autoimmune condition, or I have cancer, I have stress. I have a doctor, I have a therapist, I take the medicine, it still doesn't work. Can you help me? So what I started to realize here, there's a very significant piece that's fragmented out of the system that is really associated with the feminine principle of care, of the value of time and attention, and the prioritization of, I need to take care of myself in order to actually be attuned to my patient and to tap into that resonance and to feel them. So I think something that we're striving for in this field is more empathy, more compassion, more time, more connection. But I think the missing link amongst these very crucial topics for better patient care is we're not going to attain any of those metrics until we learn how to truly become self-aware as doctors. And we get to that kind of 51% where the doctors are committed to their own self-care because we're realizing we're so service to others, you know, and in fact, Martin Luther King today says life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I think we have to realize that we are a crucial part of this equation. We don't just do for others without truly doing the authentic work within ourselves. So my hope and how I found you and led down this rabbit, you know, the rabbit hole I've had to go down if I've been connected to Daniel Schmachtenberger. So it's been a very long rabbit hole of seeking out the individuals who is willing to hear my side of things when I don't have the degree, when I don't have the particular chops that are being heard by the system, but when I've embodied something so crucial to be able to help completely shift the trajectory of medicine and care as we know it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
What a clear and loud voice, very, very well heard. Thank you for kind of paving the way for this conversation. So this is why we have this conversation. And so this was very rich what you have shared with us. And so let's unpack this as we go through the next 10 conversations, if you like, and explore this together. What does it mean? And what can we actually do? What is in it for us, given the system we have and possibly, you know, is the system viable and do we need something different? Or let's have this like really an open conversation, just learning from observations. Great. Ruby, do you want to continue?
Sure. Yeah. I feel like I'll pick up the story where Stephanie left off because we're connected. Actually, we work together. And the poignant moment that Stephanie describes was perfectly, serendipitously, beautifully synchronized with my own poignant moment. When we met, it was a pretty powerful connection because of us being at a very similar sort of soul points, heart points. So I'm a primary care provider by training. I'm an internal medicine doctor. I've been practicing for about 10 years after training. And I also have some public health work and training that I do. And I'm also an educator. So throughout, you know, seeing patients, I'm also teaching some around students and training doctors, young doctors, residents all the time, every day. So it's a big part of my experience and where I was when I met Stephanie. I don't really want to go too much into an old version of myself and why I went into medicine, because I think much more telling is where I was at in that moment about 2-3 years ago when we met, which is having gone through a significant shift and transformation within myself. I had come to a realization that a lot of the frustrations that I had that Stephanie described so beautifully. I mean, I was all of those things. I love my job. I love my patients. I love my teaching. I love my students, but I'm frustrated. I'm burned out. I'm exhausted. All of those things together at the same time, superimposed. And that brought me to really an inner journey of trying to figure out what now? Where do I go from when I've really gotten down to the depths of what is truly causing these frustrations for me? And it was quite often external things that I didn't have control over. But surprisingly, there were a lot of things that I discovered that I did have control over. And as I started to shift those things, my mindset was significantly changed and my view of my work significantly changed, so much so that I was arriving at a point, right, literally the day before I met Stephanie, I sort of surrendered to the universe, to God, to purpose and mission. And I said, whatever it is that I'm meant to do, I surrender to that. I actually completely let go of my expectations and my attachments to what that might look like. It was a profound moment for me. And literally the next day I met Stephanie through Skype, through a very strange, connection. And immediately, I could see within her, she was saying all the same things that I felt was missing from my life in terms of being able, I'll tell you what I said to her. I said, you make me feel valued and seen and understood. This was within that first hour that we talked to each other, because she understood the depth of trying and struggling that I had gone through without having at all come from, she comes from literally the polar opposite experience. And yet here we were intersected in this moment where actually we were well positioned to see each other. And that was profound. After that, you can't have a connection like that and ignore it. And we did begin to work after that. And I, another thing that I really feel deeply and why I'm here and committed to this work and talking with you, Jan and Dan, is that I have found that, just as Stephanie's put so well, a patient advocate, something that maybe I thought I was in the past, a patient advocate naturally turns into a physician advocate. And somebody who is focused on really providing good care to patients has to care for themselves first. This is so backwards in our system that I'm telling you how much difficulty I faced within myself to really understand what that means. And we've gleaned so much insight into this is why a lot of the frustrations exist, because although we say these things to each other and we're great and we're brilliant and we're articulate as healthcare workers within the system, we have difficulty implementing what it is that we want to see. And I believe it's this gap between what is truly self-care and understanding it versus really fully integrating it, heart level, not just mind, and then starting to exhibit that into life and therefore practice. First life, then practice. So this is why I'm here.
Wow. Thank you. So strong, so clear. And I guess many of your colleagues, including myself, understand very deeply what you're saying, not just cognitively, but really feel with you and for you and recognize a lot of what you're saying. So let's go deeper into this perspective too in our conversations, where we're exploring like how is it possible that we are that we are having a healthcare system where here's a representative of the patient's experience saying, I don't feel heard and seen. And here's a representative of the physician's perspective and doesn't feel seen and valued. And like, where are we missing each other here? And is there a way that we can add this component to all the cognitive stuff that is going on between patients and physicians? So, wow. Thank you. Very welcome. Dan, my dear friend, what got you into medicine and into heart-based medicine?
So exciting to be here on this conversation. Stephanie and Ruby, thank you so much for sharing from your heart and to hearing that, and already knows very well that we should be on this conversation together, that this is really important for us to have this conversation. My history in healthcare comes from both lines of my family. My mom and dad way back have been physicians. My grandfather's on both sides. My dad's a physician. My brother's a physician. My cousin's a physician. Everyone did bring heart and holism into what they were doing. But I will tell you, it really felt that there was a moment where I was paving my own way, that it wasn't something that I was just going to come into as a family traditional aspect of what to do. So I kind of hid in ecosystem biology. And I really was still pre-med, but still started to understand the interactions between species. And when I really started to study how species interact, I started having this aha moment of the interaction and how within medicine, within ourselves, there is this interrelationship between all, between everything that we're talking about. So when Ruby was just talking, it made me feel like that is the dance between the brain and the heart. When you're talking about the cognitive from the physicians and we can articulate it, but are we feeling it? Are we feeling it? Are we exuding it? Are we bringing it into this interaction to create the resonance that Stephanie feels, that when she finally connects with someone at that authentic level, there is truly a resonant field, which is healing rather than healthcare. Mm-hmm. And so standing on the shoulders of the giants of my family that have come before me, but taking it into an evolution of what we need for today. And I think it's been really fun because, you know, I'm a family physician by training, did residency at UCSF. I also have an integrative holistic medicine background, boarded with the American Board of Integrative Medicine, integrative holistic medicine. And I look back at all of these, you know, as Ruby was saying, kind of this different identity that we kind of create for ourselves and realize that it was always searching. If you take a family physician that is now open to integrative and holistic care, you are basically saying, I'm open to all things in medicine to help somebody. In addition to that, I did extensive training in functional medicine. I even did a fellowship in wilderness medicine just in case I was outside of a hospital setting, deep in nature on its own. And how do you handle that? But I look back and again, it's trying to fill in the gaps that exist within medicine so I could take care of somebody in any of these environments. Where that brought me is I actually spent 13 years in San Francisco. One of the very first doctors at a organization called One Medical, where we were really transforming healthcare. And again, 13 years ago, the landscape was, you know, tech enabled ability to spend actually time with human beings to bring this. So this actually was a transformation in medicine to actually allow support systems through tech enabled care so that we could spend more time and engage. And incredible, what an incredible journey, but I was always pushing the envelope. I was always sort of on what we would consider kind of the R&D research and development of like, okay, how do we leverage groups for transformational healing? How can we bring anxiety and stress, depression, management? This is, you know, 10 years ago into what was really going on when people are the physical manifestations of, let's say, their pains or their insomnia or their, you know, as a fundamental, like what's really going on beyond there. And the journey at that point, I realized that, look, even if it's only seeing 16 people in a day, which was a far cry from what others were seeing, it's still what I needed to do personally, to center, to ground, to connect so that I was having heart connection over and over again is what Stephanie was talking about. Whether my own innate wisdom, my history in yoga, in meditation, in shamanism, in indigenous wisdom, in connecting to my heart, in self-awareness, and bringing that and my own skills in between clients, in between patients, so that I was centered, so I was ready and open to connect with another human being, so I could see themselves within the disease, within themselves, so the narrative of who they are and what was important and their meaning and their purpose. And so that really just kind of drove me into creating my own work. And so I work now as a physician guide, where I work with a smaller number of clients in a much more powerful and deeper way, where we're doing physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing. And it's all about the relationship. It's all about co-creation and connection and open, loving process where we can uncover what it is, what's going on, and what it means to have, quote unquote, this diagnosis within who they are. And so I'm really excited to be a part of this conversation, because it really feels like the evolution of a physician perspective, but coming all the way around, I guess what you consider a convergent evolution of sort of now the patient and other amazing heartfelt practitioners coming together to see that. And I think the one thing that I'm excited is, you know, there's so much talk about self-care, but if I look back even as I have exuded it, it's really this, it's love and it's creativity.
Yes.
And it's us becoming more alive and more ourselves and more authentic, which is truly that self-care, as opposed to, oh, these are the things that other people have done, and that's what we can do. This is alive. And that's where I'm excited to be a part of the conversation. Thank you so much.
Great. So welcome, Dan. I know why we're going into this journey together and expand that conversation. So I'll add some highlights from my background. So a lot of my journey has been is outlined in the book Dare to Care, and it's outlined in blogs on heart-based medicine. And but very just in terms of this conversation today, there were two critical moments in my life that have completely changed, or let's take three time points. So one was a convinced believer and a good student. Okay. That's kind of image one of our little movie, Yarn movie. I'm coming from a background of a father who's a lawyer. Everything has norms, values, right, wrong, very clear, structured. A humanistic, a family driven by humanistic values. My mother is an actor. And so there's no medical background directly. Like in the wider family, there are lots of physicians and researchers, neuroscientists, and great people. But I didn't. That wasn't my experience. That wasn't my direct experience and influence when I chose the route to become a healthcare professional. So to me, the calling to become a healthcare professional was very clear as a child. And it kind of turned into, you know, starting with first aid and becoming a paramedic and wanting to help other people when they have difficult times. And it was natural for me that that's a great thing to do. And I saw value and meaning in helping people in existential crisis. And I was excited about the ambulance idea and about all of the excitement around emergency medicine, and all of that was cool. So then at some point I realized, okay, now I've learned a lot of tricks, but I'm really not understanding what I'm doing. And so I wanted to study. So I went into studies to learn and understand. And so then in the studies, there were a lot of setbacks because there was a lot of information to be processed, and there was very little about helping other people. This was learning and building my capacity. And during that time, I have in a way unlearned some of the enthusiasm. I was even told off sometimes about the enthusiastic, about the awe moments. Yeah. Enthusiasm about working harder and longer and better grades and more competition, absolutely allowed. But enthusiasm about, did you see this cell? Oh my God, look at this. Oh, wow. What do we see in the microscope? You know, this was not so much encouraged. It was more becoming a very highly functional, very high performing individual. with a lot of resilience, trained to be resilient under stress situations. So then we fast forward into residency, and I was privileged to spend some time in India, and I spent some time in the US, and some time in Switzerland, and in the UK. And so all of this has been really helpful. And then I went on to research more and more and more, because the desire was, I'm not getting this. There's more to learn. So I went deep into research and research methods and global public health. And I learned a lot, and I was interacting with a lot of the global players in public health. And all of that was really inspiring. I was totally inspired by this work, and I felt this is really meaningful. Luckily, at the same time, I was always treating patients. I never left the bedside. And there were a couple of moments with little babies that reminded me of why I was actually going into healthcare, what it actually was. And I saw this gap increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. And I rationalized all of this. But I realized that the quality of my work and what I'm doing at the patient bedside changes depending on the way I show up there. And the quality of the work that I do on public health level, where there is no single patient, it's numbers, it's populations, changes by the way I show up there. To get these integrated was really, really difficult. So at some point I started working with a coach who I co-authored the book with, and he really helped me to kind of rephrase my vision and find my own path, if you like, or kind of add something that was missing. And to me, it was very clear that what we're missing is what I called love in the beginning, and then called heart-based as opposed to evidence-based. And so now what I learned is much later. I learned to differentiate three fundamentally different ways of looking at a relation. And this has really fascinated me. There's one way that we could call mentalization. And mentalization means, as a healthcare professional, I understand the suffering of the patient. I have an understanding of that. Now, that understanding may, as Dan said, may be informed through the, you like, mainstream Western academic medicine, or it may be informed through shamanic medicine, or it may be informed through other Ayurvedic, traditional Chinese, any different kind of medicine. So a concept, at the end, it's a conceptualization of what I'm seeing in front of me. It's a conceptualization of the suffering that I'm encountering. And we've learned, neuroscientists have really described very well what areas of the brain are involved in this process. Now, that's really, really relevant, because empathy is a completely different network, neuronal network, completely different circuit. And empathy is about feeling with, resonating with. It's actually allowing myself to feel your feelings. And it's a whole different circuit activated in the brain. Now, I may allow myself to activate that circuit, or I may not allow myself to activate that circuit, for example, because it's not objective, because it's not professional, or because it hurts. Mm-hmm. Or because I need to protect myself, because if I do this 25 times a day, whew, and I'm seeing patients with a lot of negative emotions, I will have felt and empathized and resonated and thus trained my own system neuroplastically by methods of neuroplasticity. I've trained my own system to actually work in these, with these values. So it's quite clear that this is something that we can only take this is a medicine we can only take in a certain dose, right? So we can't empathize unlimitedly if that's all there is, right? If that's where it ends. And so traditionally we've learned to then say, empathy is actually something that is maybe for nurses, but certainly not for doctors, right? You need to understand, you need to mentalize. That's your job as in this role game. Now, the third piece is compassion. And interestingly, that's yet a completely different circuit. That is so amazing. Mm-hmm. So again, I can allow myself to activate this or not activate this. Mm-hmm. And compassion is not so much feeling what you are feeling, but feeling for you. So this compassion is about, I'm staying centered here. I'm staying authentic here. I'm staying truthful here. And I'm available for you. And I hear you, and I feel for you. I'm with you. which doesn't mean that I feel your feelings, but I'm with you. Okay. So I have the intention to help you. I have the intention to accompany you on your journey and see what is it that is important to you and how can I help? Yeah. And possibly how can we both learn from this? How can we both grow? And how can this be a shared healing journey? So this became so fascinating to me that I felt, okay, this is what I want to dedicate the next 20 years to. This is an area that is very unexplored and really needs attention. So this, in short, is my journey and how I how I got there, and maybe outline some of the some of what science, Western academic science, thanks God we're going down that route, has learned about where we, how we function. And so I hope that in the next 20 years to come, that there will be a lot more insight into this area. And there are many groups underway exploring this. And I hope that in our conversations here in this podcast, that we can tease this out and actually learn from each other from the various perspectives that we share, that we can actually learn from that and see how can we, what is it that it takes to change ourselves so that our environments change, are influenced, as Stephanie has described this very well. So there was a change that she saw in herself, and here was the healthcare team around her looking for her guidance, right? Yeah. What is the change that is needed so we can actually be authentic to ourselves and with that actually show up in a way that we're credible for patients, that we're not just purporting knowledge we've learned, but that is matched by an authenticity and an authority that is based on humanness just as much as on knowledge. And this goes probably much deeper than being nice, being friendly. This is, I think we all talk about something much, much deeper than that. And that has been very untapped. It's uncharted land. So let's see what we will cover in the next episodes. We want to maybe take the last 10 minutes of this episode to look at, what do you see when you look around you? Stephanie, you already described this a little bit, what you saw when you looked into the healthcare teams caring for you. And Ruby, you described your path, and Dan, you described your path. Maybe can I ask the two of you just for a few minutes, share what is your perspective when you look at your colleagues around you? And that's not just physicians, that's nurses, therapists, psychologists, physio, logo, speech and language, wherever, everybody involved in the healthcare system that you're meeting. When you look around you, what do you see? Do you want to start, Ruby?
Sure. It might be a little rough start, so you guys can soften it, because what I see, again, is my colleagues, people that I love and deeply care for, my students, my residents, my patients, all of us collectively. The word that's coming to mind is complacency, which is really difficult to say right off the bat. It goes deeper. It's not just a complacency of that's deliberate. Again, we're talking about a coming from a deep desire to serve and to continue in connections between colleagues, between patients in these collective settings. That's happening in all kinds of clinical settings. What's happening is some of the bright spots, just like I talked about these two superimposed realities that I experienced, the bright spots are so bright. There's such love and brightness and light in those connections. And Jan, you described that too. We get so much from service that it's maybe considered enough, and this is as good as it's going to get. So let's just keep going. So that's what I see. I have difficult to admit and process on my own, but that's really changed and shifted my ability to see what truly holds us back in terms of shifting the system, is to realize that the flip side, the polar opposite of complacency, is actually empowerment and understanding that we actually can change and make a big difference. as soon as we realize that, oh, I can do something about this, you can't be complacent anymore.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, totally. Complacency is one element of it. Conditioning, really, really strong conditioning, is probably part of it. So it's not a matter of fault or doing something. It's something that we've been conditioned into. And the call that I hear loud and clear, and that we'll certainly go into further when in our conversations, is what are the options for personal sovereignty in organizations or creating new ones, right? But what are the options that we have actually? And there are many out there, and we've already discussed that. So we'll venture back into this topic. So thanks for that call, Dan. A few minutes.
You know, it mimics my own work. It's a self-awareness. It's like coming through right now is the uncertainty and the fear. And I think within a systemic model, this is the shadow work that many of us have done that are in constant understanding of. And it's a moment of seeing the all, seeing all of it. But many people that see anything within the darkness within medicine, and I say that from just what has evolved as a systemic model that is not truly, it starts within service to all, but because it's trying to create something that somehow does fit all people, it just misses the mark. That's just kind of how I see this. And so those that are in the darkness that are seeing that and overworked are becoming so burnt out and they're just leaving. And so the reason I bring my own practice into it is that is the opportunity. That is where, you know, Stephanie's teaching her yoga class. That is the moment that you are in an uncomfortable situation in a position that you can hold it. And that breakthrough, that transformation is just there. Yes. And what's happening is as soon as it's uncomfortable, it's like, and then people are just bailing out. Those that are pivoting, that are holding that space and transmuting, transfiguring, transforming that moment into something more beautiful and bright, that's what's possible for us. Yes. And so if I looked at it, I would definitely see it as this moment of kind of a systemic uncertainty and fear, but I bring my own possibility and excitement into that because that is when change happens. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Wow, beautiful. It takes courage to self-reflect. It takes courage to look into the mirror, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, but usually it brings more clarity. So that's what we're about. So let's dive more into clarity. And next time when we meet, we actually want to talk about suffering. We want to go right to the beginning of the journey from being in a state of suffering as a patient and as a healthcare professional in different ways. And what does it take to move from a place of suffering to a place of not being alone in suffering, a place of being guided possibly, or at least accompanied while being in suffering, to possibly recognizing who is suffering, and how can we move from the content of the suffering to seeing who is experiencing this on both sides, for the healthcare professional and the patient. I'm really curious to explore this with you. And so we will go through these different conversations. We dive into suffering. We dive into permission to be compassionate with ourselves. We dive into meaning and purpose. And what does it mean for both sides? We'll unpack resonance as a mechanism of relationships and what that means, and how can we deal with them? How can we utilize and allow ourselves to be in this mechanism without being dragged into a story and losing oversight? And many other things, self-awareness, sovereignty, we talked about this, and then finally see what is the system shift we actually need. So thanks a lot for joining today. This was a really great start where we shared our different perspectives, where we're coming from, our background, and with it, paving the way and preparing the conversations to come. So really looking forward to talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining today. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this Heart of Healthcare podcast brought to you by Heart-Based Medicine. If you enjoyed the conversation, you'll find some free resources and more information at heartbasedmedicine.org. Please share this episode if you feel inclined and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks and take care.